Scripture reading this evening is from John chapter 15 and verse 10. John chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
The sermon topic tonight is remaining in the love. We just heard in that reading of scripture passage there in John that what it takes to remain in God's love. If you want to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5, want to read along with me in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. Faith expressing itself through love. How important is love as part of salvation? Since the beginning of time, since the beginning, man has sought to placate God with vain acts, wanting to escape the natural relationship between Creator and created, between God and man. God is God, and God is to be treated as God, is to be worshipped, is to be acknowledged. And yet man has sought from the very beginning to try to get out of that. God giving man free will, giving man his own consciousness. Man has sought to try to get out of that relationship rather than follow what is obviously a natural relationship between the Creator and the created. But such worship is in vain. In Matthew chapter 15, we read, book of Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Here we have God's view of this. So these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Their worship was in vain. I mean, they would come out and they would say, talk about God. They would say things about God. And you would hear them, and if you were there, you would hear them, and they would be saying nice things about God and worship things about God and from your outward perspective, but God looked at their heart and saw what they really felt. And he's saying, they're out there, they're all out there saying these things, but their heart isn't, that isn't where their heart is. Their heart is far away. Their heart is not in it. And such acts are vain. I'm sure although those people did, they sacrificed, they gave tithes, they gave of their goods, of their money, the things that they had prospered. They did different things in the belief that that's what God wanted them to do, and yet their heart wasn't in it. And God didn't need those things from them. God did not need their money. He did not need their goods. He didn't need any of that. Their heart wasn't in it, and therefore their worship was in vain. So how important was the love? How important was it for them to believe in what they were doing? Here we have God looking at it. Now you, on the surface, you might have been fooled. As an individual, a fellow human being, you might have been fooled into thinking that these people really wanted to serve God. But the whole time, the things that they were doing, the things that they were saying, and God was looking at them, and he was seeing people who didn't want to serve him. They were just going through motions. pretending that they loved God. They just pretended. Well, you and I might have been fooled by that. But it's really rather pointless with God, because if your heart isn't in it and you don't love God, and you're not doing it through faith, you're not doing whatever you do through faith, and because you really believe and you really love God and you really want to be God's servant, then it's all in vain. It's all pointless. Well, you might fool mom, dad, brothers, sisters, friends, co-workers, but you can't fool God. He knows what your heart is. He knows whether or not you believe these things. He knows how committed you are to the cause of Christ. He knows how you live your life. So it's in vain. It's pointless. People draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Vain worship. They're trying to get out of an obligation. That's what they're really trying to do. They're trying to get out of that obligation to worship God the way God requires us to worship Him, to obey Him the way God requires us to obey Him, to be His servants. The heart just isn't in it. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because you can't fool God. As I said, you can fool everybody else, but you can't fool God. So without the faith, without really believing in what you're doing, it's all pointless. Doesn't mean anything. Vain worship. John chapter 15, verse 10. We'll read over that passage again in John chapter 15, verse 10. It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You see, in Jesus' case, it was necessary. It was required for Jesus to obey God. If Jesus wanted to remain in God's love, then Jesus had to obey God. And Jesus is saying the exact same thing to everybody else, to all the rest of us. It says, if you abide in me, he's telling us, if you abide in me, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments. Being a servant is not for everybody. Men seek another way. There's a doctrine that says that the most important thing about a person's salvation is not obedience, but in fully and completely trusting in Jesus to take care of everything for you. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us that He became, that is, Jesus became, the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Yet this other doctrine says, you're a sinner. You can't do anything. Therefore, you shouldn't try to do anything. And in fact, the error in that opinion would be that if you did try to do something, even if you believe it was what God told you to do, if you were trying to do it, thinking that it would be make any difference, that would be the error. That you should simply fully trust Jesus to handle everything for you. And yet, the Scriptures teach us, like I just read in John chapter 15, verse 10, here you have Jesus telling you, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. It was conditional for Him. It's conditional for us to obey. That doesn't say anything about Him doing everything for you. It says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it says he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. The sons of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Said it right the first time. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the princes of the power of the air and the spirit, who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We're just like them. Sons of disobedience. I read the passage, Hebrews chapter 9, says he's author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. But what about the converse of that? What about the opposite of that? What about the sons of disobedience? What difference does that make? If you say, well, they can't help themselves, they're just sinners. They're sons of disobedience. And it does make a difference. Why did Jesus command his disciples to teach that his disciples obey everything he commanded them if he was going to do everything for them? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching them to observe all things. Now, if Jesus is going to do all things for you, why did he command these people? Why did he command his disciples to teach them, to teach others to obey all things that he had commanded? Because it was critically important that they do so. Because he is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. They are obligated to obey him. God has always required obedience. He required obedience right from the very start with Adam and Eve. And he told them, he said, don't eat of that fruit, of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch it. Don't mess with it. He's always required obedience. I mean, how can you read the Bible and not understand that God has always required obedience? It's not one of those, somebody else is going to take care of everything for you. It's going to be, you do what I tell you to do, or else. After I read this next passage of Scripture, ask yourself, how important is my faith, my personal conviction as far as being saved? We'll read Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love. How important is that love? How important is that faith? That it be genuine. That it be in your heart. That you truly believe. That you truly love God. How important is it? It says with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. How many things here on earth do you love that much? you love your spouse, your husband, your child, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That's how important it is to God. It was the first commandment. It's the greatest commandment, the first and greatest commandment of the law in verse 38. The very first thing he wanted them to know and to understand is that this is the most important thing, that they love and obey him. That they have that true and genuine faith. That they're not pretending. They're not faking it. That's how important it is. That's how important the love is, to be able to remain in God's love, to be able to remain in that relationship between Creator and created, between God and servant. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul. What would Jesus say about it? Again, what would Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse 15? John chapter 14, verse 15, what does Jesus say about loving him? What does it mean to him? If you love me, keep my commandments. Obey. Obey. Keep my commandments. It shouldn't be hard to understand that a servant obeys the master. Jesus is Lord. What is Lord? Lord and master. Is it hard to understand that we, as his servants, or anybody that would be his servant, that would be saved, obey him? That's the natural relationship between Lord and Master and servant. And Jesus says it right out. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey. He is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Now, after hearing that, what God has said about it, about the subjects of love and faith and obedience, would you believe me if I told you to not be concerned about obeying God? If I turned right around and told you, just as a man, and told you, don't worry about that. Jesus, just trust Jesus to do everything for you. Would you believe me as a mere man if I told you that? I mean, we just read how important obedience is to them, to God, to Jesus. We just read all of those things. I'm just a man. But I read to you God's own words. And, of course, you're going to believe God's word over me. Even if I turned and started lying and started making stuff up and started telling you what you wanted to hear, well, it sounds good to some, you know, as far as something you might want to believe. You might want to believe, hey, you know, I don't have to worry about failing God, you know, as long as I'm fully trusting in Jesus to do everything for me. I don't have to worry about obeying. I don't have to worry about having it in my heart to love God. I can just kind of just mess around, you know, and do whatever. If my heart won't be in it, and I'll be like, well, I just trust in Jesus to take care of all that for me. But is that what the Scriptures teach you about obedience? Is that what the Scriptures teach you about the heart? About love? Is this what the Scriptures teach you about what they want from those who love them? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? Jesus understands the relationship between Lord and servant. Do we? And since you can't save yourself in this wicked generation, the real mistake would be in believing you were obligated to obey. Now, what kind of thinking is that? What is this idea you can't do anything? Well, apart from God, you can do nothing. We know that. But then that's not the situation. We're not apart from God. God sent us His Son to die on the cross so that we can have that relationship, that help. The fact is we're not separated from God. It says, with God, all things are possible. Even the salvation of men's souls. But we're not apart from God. We're not doing it without God. So that's not the case. Yes, it is true. Apart from God, we couldn't do anything. But we're not. Man has never been alone. Adam and Eve were never... All the way from the very beginning, all the way to the very end, God is going to be there. He's never abandoned man. Never. Always been there. Always requiring obedience. This is always the same thing. Essentially, the other would be faith without works. We know what that is. Faith without works is dead, being alone. It's not a saving kind of faith. It's not a kind of faith where your heart is in it. And your heart has to be in it. John chapter 14, verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Jesus just lays it out, plain and simple. You have the pretenders. You have people out there just playing around. They don't really want to be a servant of God. They don't really want that kind of life. And they will be weeded out. As surely as we're all here, they will be worded out, weeded out by the process, because they love the world and they love their own lives and their own pleasures and their own free will, and they wouldn't submit to God. We know that God requires us to be faithful, to be obedient, just as He has from the very beginning. There is no excuse for anyone that would do otherwise. I'm just about to give an invitation, and I use my handy scriptures here. There we go. What does one have to do to be saved? First, one has to hear. I don't know why it does that. I took it off the timer. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. First, we have to hear the Word of God. We have to hear what God wants us to do to be saved. So then faith comes by that hearing of what God wants us to do. That's when we hear what God wants us to do, and then we believe it. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Repentance, Luke chapter 13, verse 3, says, "Unless you repent, you will likewise perish." In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized." In Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, "Now commands all men everywhere to repent." And then there's confession. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, whoever confesses me before men. Why would God require that? Why would God require you confess him before men? Why couldn't you be secretive about it? Because your heart wouldn't be in it. You wouldn't be somebody you really believed. If you wouldn't, if you're not willing to confess Jesus and God before men, then your heart isn't in it. You're not a believer. You're not somebody who truly believes. You may be somebody that's scared. You may be somebody that's trying to fool somebody into believing that you're okay. But you can't fool God. Therefore, God puts this condition. He says, whoever confesses me before men. Sometimes confession gets overlooked as to how important it is. But it's simply the outward profession of faith. The faith that I just preached about, that I just taught about, that is so extremely important, that love and that faith are so important, so quintessential to a man's salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's your outward profession of faith. That's you, a true believer. And then there's being baptized. Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 through 20, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 22, verse 16, arise and be baptized. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we're buried with him through baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we know what the scripture said about atheism. There may be someone tonight in the audience who has not obeyed the gospel. And I let you know that you can obey the gospel if you believe. But if you don't believe, what point would it be to be baptized in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, His Son Jesus, and that of the Holy Spirit? That would be pointless for you to just simply get wet. It is for the believer. When asked, the Ethiopian eunuch said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Scriptures say that he was replied to, if you believe, you may. There wouldn't be any point for him to be baptized or to make any confessions toward men who didn't believe. It would all be faith. But if you do believe that God exists, that he rewards those who diligently seek him, if you do believe that Jesus is his Son, that Jesus is the Lord, the Savior, that Jesus came to this earth, that Jesus sacrificed himself, was made the sacrifice for sin, and that without him and without that sacrifice, there could be no forgiveness of sins. But through Jesus and with God's help, all things are possible. We have to do what we are commanded to do. Not because it's going to earn us anything. We're not going to earn our way into heaven. That's impossible. You can't do that. But that doesn't mean you're not obligated to obey God the same way that man has been obligated to obey God ever since the very beginning. The Bible, if it teaches us anything, to anybody that ever reads it, it teaches you that God requires that you obey Him. That's an obligation. It's not an option. It's an obligation. That doesn't mean you're going to be earning your salvation. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No, you won't be earning your salvation. You'll simply be obeying. And Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Jesus is the one that says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But why do you call me Lord and do not do the things I say? if you do believe, if you are willing to make that confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Son of God, if you're willing and ready to repent of your sins, to turn away from a life of sinning and live in obedience rather than disobedience, as the sons of disobedience, and be recognized as a son of obedience, then we can assist you. If you come forward as we sing our invitation,